message today on talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And there's much to be said. God bless you, Sunday Club. There's much to be said on the subject, and many of us are already familiar with it, but it's good to be even more familiar with and to remind ourselves of what we already know. And there may be some individuals here who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do so. But before we do that, you know, I'm going to give you some information now regarding this, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is sometimes called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's sometimes called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and praying in the Holy Spirit. As you read your Bible, you will see different phrases used, and these are some of the phrases that's used for the same thing. Within the context that we're reading it. The question that a lot of people ask, and some people may be still asking today, is this for today? Is it for today? And the answer is simply yes, it is. And I'm going to give you some evidence now. Paul taught it, and it was operated in what was started at Pentecost. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit started at Pentecost, when it was given to the birthing, if you like, of the church. So it seems a little contradictory to think that it would stop at a time it was given to the church. And when we look through Scripture, we see a number of other things. We see that it was a sign to others. Jesus spoke about it in Mark 16, 17. Paul spoke about it in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 22. Jesus and Paul and Peter mentioned that it was a sign, okay, to others. Acts chapter 10, 44 to 46, and 11, 16 to 17, okay? And there's more, but I've just stopped right there because I don't want to take too long teaching this today. Okay, so as you notice, I'm going through a series of questions, really, and the next question I've got here is, can I receive it now? Can I receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit now? And the answer is yes, you can. It is a gift freely given to us with or without the laying on of hands. And that's important to note. Two things. Number one, it is a gift. And so a gift, when a gift is given to someone, if you're going to receive it, you take it. Okay? If you don't take it, then you're not receiving that gift. And so we've got to, and I'm going to show you how, to receive the gift of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You receive it, and you receive it by faith. And the second point, it can be given with or without the laying on of hands. And I'm going to give you some scriptures just as a brief thing, and then I'm going to move on to the next slide. Acts chapter 8, the apostles laid their hands on folk who then received the Holy Spirit. So we see biblical evidence for this. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Timothy was filled with the Holy Spirit by, I believe, Paul laid his hands on him and he received it. And we know that Timothy was a young convert of Paul, who later became a pastor of a church. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, Timothy was reminded to stir up the gift of God which is in him by the laying on of hands. So he was reminded to stir it up. And every so often we need to remind ourselves to stir up the gift of God that's given to us. Now, it could be different gifts as well as the gift of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 2 says four doctrines are mentioned in that verse. Hebrews 6 and verse 2. Four doctrines are mentioned. And one of those four doctrines is the laying on of hands. That's actually a doctrine. It's something that, as a matter of fact, years gone by, Dr. Femi asked me to teach it in Bible school. And so I created a lesson, a curriculum, on the subject of the laying on of hands. And I taught it. So we see here from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 2 that it is a doctrine. It's something that should be taught and something that people should know about. And the laying on of hands is so much that can be said about that. It's important to make sure that you have the right hands laid on you, because there's something called transference of spirit. You have the wrong individuals lay hand on you, something else can be transferred across. And so that's very important, and that's why I believe the Bible mentions it as a ministry. So why should I speak in tongues? I'm going to give you 10 different reasons, and I'm going to give you scripture for each one. I'm not going to go too deep in it. I'll just go with the flow. There are 10 different reasons for speaking in tongues. And you may know more. I may not mention things that you already know. Number one, reason number one, it is the initial evidence of the infilling or baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the initial evidence. And you're going to see this through some scriptures in a moment. It's very, very important to understand that when you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, it needs to be recognized by others. Others need to witness it. Others need to evidence the fact that you have spoken in tongues. And so that's why many a time when people are being filled with the Holy Spirit and we ask them to come to the front, and we may ask you to come to the front, we will be in close proximity to you, to listen to you, to evidence that you have actually been filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are other reasons for that in the Bible, actually. It's very important for the initial evidence. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Please understand that it's not going to happen because something comes upon you within you and then you just begin to do it uncontrollably. That's not what this subject is about. That's not what the infilling of the Holy Spirit is about. You're going to have to initiate it. And you're going to have to initiate it by faith. And I'm going to show you how to do that in a moment. But here we see that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Different utterances will come from different folk in different ways, and that's okay. Let me pause here a little bit by saying this. Sometimes when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of emotion that goes on. That's okay. Sometimes there's not a lot of emotion. People can receive it in church, at home. My late brother-in-law, Elton, who's passed away now, he was filled at home in his bedroom. And I'm sure, well, maybe some folks here were filled at home as well in their bedroom. It doesn't have to be in church. And the thing not to be, and I may talk about this a little bit, is not to be anxious. Don't come with anxiety and fear and wondering, oh my gosh, is this going to happen? You know, will it happen? Just believe that it will and receive it by faith and follow the instructions given to you, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Can I get an amen? Acts chapter 10, verse 45 and verse 46. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And you've got to understand that salvation was for the Jews before the church was born. And so speaking in tongues, coming to the Gentiles now, was something fresh, something new, something not done before. It's almost like a reformation. And so that's another reason why it needs to be initialized, if you like. You know, it needs to be witnessed by others, because others back then saw that not only the Jews were filled with the Holy Spirit, but Gentiles were also filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's very important. This scripture proves that the initial evidence was necessary for the Jews to see that the Gentiles can receive the Holy Spirit as well. Just reading my notes. So that's reason number one, the initial evidence. It needs to be evidenced. Number two, the Apostle Paul encouraged Christians at Corinth to continue the practice of speaking in tongues in their services. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 39. So if it wasn't necessary, Paul would not have encouraged the church to do this. Okay? And I'm sticking with Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians as well, because there's a lot that's said in that, especially pertaining to this subject and other subjects as well. If there was a problem in any church back in those days, the Corinthian church experienced it. And these two letters that Paul wrote were corrective letters, not circulatory letters that went to other churches, but corrective letters that were written to Christians at Corinth to correct a lot of things that was going on that was wrong. Okay? And so, I won't go into that now, but let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, 39. It says, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues." So again, Paul encouraged it, and he wasn't the only one that encouraged it. Like I said, it was birthed with the New Testament church, and so therefore it should continue with the church, and it has continued with the church through the years. Reason number three, we are also encouraged and taught in God's word that when we speak in tongues, we edify or build up ourselves spiritually. Why should I speak in tongues? Because I need to build myself up spiritually. Okay? I need to build myself up. I need to edify myself. Now, I don't want to jump ahead, but there's quite a bit I want to say about this, but I'm just going by my slides, okay, so that I'm not going to repeat myself a bit more. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. It says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." The Corinthian church back then had people speaking in tongues, and there was nobody in the congregation to interpret. They had, this was one of the difficulties, one of the problems that they experienced, one of the things that they did which they shouldn't have done. And so, as I said, it's a corrective letter that was written, and here Paul spoke and said, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Okay? Edifies himself. The church is not edified, because when a person speaks in tongues, you don't know what they're saying. But your spirit does know what it's saying. Hey, you might not know what you're saying, but your spirit does. Because you're communicating with God. And so God hears and God understands. So the Bible here says, I'll read it again. "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." And many a time before prophecy is given, especially in a church setting, tongues come forth. And when the tongues come forth, nobody knows what that tongue is saying, what that tongue means. But then an interpretation is given to an individual, okay, in a language that everybody understands, i.e. English, for us. And so the whole congregation now is edified and can be built up because we understand what is being said, and we hear through that individual what God is saying to the church. But when you speak in tongues, again, you edify yourself. Your spirit is speaking to God, and so you are built up. Your spirit man is built up. Jude 20. "But beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Praying in the Holy Spirit, or speaking in tongues. Howard Carter, a renowned teacher on the gifts of the Spirit, said this, "Speaking in tongues is a river flowing that should never dry up." It should never dry up. There are lots of Christians that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but they don't speak in tongues. Or they seldom speak in tongues. But I agree with Howard Carter here in what he said, that it should never dry up. And I don't want to take too much time, but there are times when, you know, especially if you're in a situation, let me give you an example. If you're in a situation where you don't know what decision to make, and this is a practical decision through life and what life brings at you, and you have a decision to make, I challenge you, if you've not done that before, speak in tongues. Okay? Your spirit now is communicating to God who hears and who understands and who will answer and give you that answer, and you'll feel at peace deep down in your spirit about whatever it is that you're about to do. Because you've taken the time now, your spirit has, to bypass the realm of the flesh and to communicate with God. And so there's a beautiful benefit here. It's a river that's always flowing and should always flow, a river. Okay? So please note that. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but unto God. For no one can understand him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. And those mysteries, God understands. Are you with me so far? Okay, I hope this is coming across clear. I'm sort of going slow so that you really understand what this is, okay, and what it's saying. So I've already reiterated all of this already. And scripture is just proving it. When you speak in tongues, okay, you don't speak to men. You speak to God. And men don't understand, but God does. For man, it's a mystery. For God, it's not. He understands exactly what your spirit is saying. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. See, I've already said all this. Scripture is backing it up. All right? Your spirit prays, but your understanding is unfruitful. Okay? Your mind can't comprehend it, doesn't know what it's saying. So it might sound like gobbledygook. It might sound like nonsense. You've got to now learn to switch your brain off to not pay attention to the logic that sometimes we expect or live in this world, and just understand that your spirit is communicating with God. All right? Reason number four, why should I speak in tongues? Speaking in tongues keeps us aware of the Holy Spirit's presence within us. If we are conscious of his presence, it is bound to affect the way that we live and the way that we think. Let me give you some scriptures, not on there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. It says this, we are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Please understand that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So it matters how you treat it. And this is what the Word of God is saying. The Holy Spirit dwells and resides inside of you. And he needs to continue to dwell inside of you. So it matters what you take in. It matters how you treat your body, how you treat yourself. Don't abuse your body in any way whatsoever. Remember, it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Here we go again. Who is in you, whom you have from God. And the verse ends by saying this, and you are not your own. You don't belong to you. You belong to God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is an earth suit that you need to exist here on this earth. But the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. And that's how he communicates with us and teaches us. That's what Jesus said. The Spirit of truth will lead us and teach us into all truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. Being fitted together. These two verses now in Ephesians 2 is talking about the community of believers, the church, the body of Christ coming together. It says this, being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So individually we're being built up, individually the Holy Spirit lives within us, collectively as a body, as a church, the Holy Spirit dwells amongst us. All right, so speaking in tongues keeps us aware of the Holy Spirit's presence within us and conscious of the way that we are, and it affects the way that we live and the way that we think, or it should. Reason number five, why should I speak in tongues? Speaking in tongues eliminates the possibility of selfishness entering our lives. You see, when you communicate with God, when you speak in tongues, you communicate with God, and you reduce the possibility of any kind of selfish decision or selfishness that's inside of you that maybe wants to come out. You reduce it when you speak in tongues. You eliminate it. So speaking in tongues is a good thing to do. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us, helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, let me put on PC Nelson. So take note of this, okay? Again, you find yourself in a situation where you don't know what to say, you don't know what to speak, you don't know what to do. When you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God, and the Holy Spirit makes intercession to God, who is God, by the way, makes intercession to God the Father for us with groanings that can't be uttered. So you cannot understand the groanings that's coming. It's not, when you say groanings, it's not just talking about sometimes it may be, but sometimes it may be speech that's not understood. This is what P.C. Nelson said of this verse, the same verse we just looked at, Romans 8, 26. This is what he said. He added those on the end there. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us in groanings which cannot be uttered in articulated speech. So in other words then, in a language that we understand. He doesn't do that. Because he speaks to God, and that's, you know, you're speaking to God. And so you may not always understand it, the way the Holy Spirit leads you in that particular moment, in that particular time. Reason number six, speaking in tongues. By the way, P.C. Nelson, in case you don't know who that was, he was the founder of the Southwest Bible Institute. Okay, in certain circles, he was a well-known scholar, okay, in certain circles, and he founded the Southwest Bible Institute. Reason number six, speaking in tongues helps believers to trust God more fully. To trust God more fully. I refer you again to Jude 20 that speaks about, but beloved, building up yourself in the most holy faith. And note that, faith, in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It takes faith to speak in tongues, because we do not know what words are going to come out. We don't know what we're going to utter. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to stand and to believe that even though what's coming out of my mouth, my mind doesn't understand it, but God does. Faith says, no, God does. Your mind might not, but God does. Your spirit is speaking to God. Speaking in tongues helps us to declutter whatever may be in our hearts that does not please God. Because there may be something there that we're not even aware of, but when we begin to speak in tongues, God is aware of everything. Okay? He's aware of everything, and so it helps. And so spiritually, what we're doing sometimes is just decluttering. We don't know what we're saying to God, but God doesn't know what we're saying, and he understands, and he moves in our favor on our behalf. Smith Wigglesworth said he could do nothing effectively before being filled with the Holy Spirit. Afterwards, there was nothing that could stop him. Smith Wigglesworth had a powerful ministry. As a matter of fact, his wife was a Christian before he was. She was saved before he was. And when he got saved, he was a stutterer. He couldn't speak, just like Moses, I believe, and I think Jeremiah. He was a stutterer. He could hardly say anything, and he was a quiet man as well, would hardly say anything. He would not do any public speaking. But he was a Sunday school teacher. And when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, things changed dramatically. There was a boldness that came upon him. And we read about his ministry on the internet, in books, And we read about his ministry and how he affected others and the lives of others through the years as a result of the boldness that came upon him and the power that came upon him, you know, when he got filled with the Holy Spirit. But he also was a man of prayer. He spent a lot of time in prayer to God. And so that's just one example there, you know, of God working and doing tremendous things in the life of one individual. Reason number 7, why should I speak in tongues? Speaking in tongues helps us to keep free from the contamination of the world and the ungodly. Helps us free, to keep free from the contamination of the world and the ungodly. That's another reason to speak in tongues. Well, how does it do that? Speaking in tongues helps to keep us free from the contamination of the world and the ungodly. How does it do that? By speaking to yourself and God. 1 Corinthians 14:28, it says, "But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and God." That's what that verse says. Speak to himself. In other words, then speak to yourself, speak in tongues, but speak quietly to yourself and to God. Because that's what you're doing when you're speaking in tongues. You're speaking to yourself, your spirit is speaking, but your spirit is speaking to God. Okay? Not loud, not publicly, but to yourself. It keeps us from the contamination of the world and also the ungodly. Reason number 8, speaking in tongues provides a way for revelation knowledge to flow. Revelation knowledge to flow. You want to hear from God, you want to get direct things from God more frequently, more clearly. You want to know the way of the Spirit and pick up what the Holy Spirit is saying. You need to be able to speak in tongues. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. All right? So it provides a way for revelation knowledge to flow. Romans 8, 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." Okay? So he helps us in those times of difficulty. Those times where we need to make a decision, those times of trouble, those times where things aren't so clear. When you speak in tongues, God brings revelation and God helps and clarity is then born. A couple of weeks ago, I was at home and it doesn't happen very frequently with me, but I began to speak in tongues quietly by myself at home. And, you know, for those of us that have been doing this for some time, you speak in tongues and then there comes a time where you stop. And when I thought in my head the time was going to come for me to stop, there was an inner prompting to continue. And as I continued, I can't remember what it was, should have written this down. I was praying about something, but as I continued in tongues, I just let the Holy Spirit allow me to utter to him whatever it is that he was saying. And then afterwards, and it continued for a little while, afterwards, there was more clarity in what I was, before speaking in tongues, troubled about. So it brought clarity, it brought revelation, it brought understanding to my spirit. And sometimes, this may happen to you as well, sometimes you speak in tongues and you come out of it and you speak in English. And what I think sometimes your spirit is doing is actually interpreting to yourself, even though you're by yourself at home, interpreting whatever it is that God is saying to you. Is anybody? Okay, yeah. So pay attention to what you're saying. All right, listen to what you're saying, because your spirit now is giving you the revelation knowledge that we just spoke about when we speak in tongues. Very important. Reason number 9. We should speak in tongues to give God thanks. Privately, I put there in brackets, or to magnify him. We should speak in tongues to give God thanks or to magnify him. 1 Corinthians 14:17 For indeed, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 46, so you understand that, yeah? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. You're speaking in tongues, so there's no edification for anybody else, okay? But in speaking in tongues, you're giving God thanks. But not just thanks, but also magnify God, is what we just said a while ago. So let me give you a scripture for that. Acts 10:46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. When you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking to God, and your spirit could be magnifying Him, blessing Him, but in an unknown language. Are you with me, church? So, another benefit of speaking in tongues, you're magnifying God. It's past your brain. You can't comprehend it. You don't understand it, but your spirit does, and so does God. What you're doing is magnifying God at times, you know, when we speak in tongues. Reason number 10. When we yield our tongue to the Holy Spirit to speak with other tongues, you are taking a big step towards yielding the other members of your body to God. I read that again. When we yield our tongue, because that's what you have to do. If you're going to speak in tongues, you can't stand up with your mouth closed. You can't do that. It won't happen. Nothing will happen. You've got to yield your mouth, yield your tongue. When we yield our tongue to the Holy Spirit to speak with other tongues, you are taking a big step towards yielding the other members of your body to God. All right. And those are the 10 reasons why we should speak in tongues. Now, steps to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 4 simple steps, all on one slide, I believe. So let me go back. Got something in my notes here that I didn't read out for this. Let me just read it. James 3 speaks of the tongue. Oh yeah, very important. James 3 speaks of the tongue and describes it as a fire, a world of iniquity, and defiles the whole body. James chapter 3 and verse 6. So you see, our tongue is very important. We know this. We know it. It's very important. And I believe the Bible even tells us, with it we bless, with it we curse. You know, and here James was saying that it's a whole world of iniquity if you're not careful. You know, a whole world of fire. Because, you know, your tongue can set the course for the rest of your life, good or bad. And that decision is yours based upon what you allow to come out of your mouth. So it's very important to yield your tongue, not just for speaking in tongues, but in life. And we spoke about this a little bit. We touched it when we talked about the mouth and words on Thursday. It's very important to yield our tongue to pave the way for the rest of your life. Prophesy into your future. Speak forth that which you are believing for. Call forth that which you want to come about into your own life. All right? Tongue is very important. Steps to receive the Holy Spirit. 4 simple steps. I'm going to put them on one slide. Number one. And these are important steps, folks. Number one, receive the gift by faith. How do I do that? Believe. Believe that God has created this for you. Believe that God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Believe that that will happen when you yield your tongue and your members to God. It's very important you follow these 4 steps. Okay? You got to believe to receive. It's not going to drop in your love. There's not going to be no shaking where something comes inside you or upon you. It's not like that. It's you giving your tongue, giving your mouth, giving your vocal cords to the Lord, making an utterance, not in English, but an utterance that you believe the Holy Spirit will touch and will fill. Number two, so receive it by faith. Number two, expect the Holy Spirit to move on your vocal cords. Expect Him to do that. God is not going to give you a gift and then withhold it from you. If He's given it to you, it's for you to take it by faith. And you see how many times we mention faith? Because that's the connector between you and you receiving. The connector between you and the blessing, the connector between you and receiving whatever it is from God, Okay, and in this instance, it's being filled with the Holy Spirit. The connector is your faith. Okay? That's why every man, Romans 12, verse 3, every man has a measure of it. Okay? Many times people say, give me more faith. You don't need more faith. You just need to use what you got. Number three. Open your mouth and expect the Holy Spirit to use your vocal cords to give you utterance. So if you're going to come forward this morning, I don't know if anybody's going to come. If you do come forward this morning, we're going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage you, okay, to open your mouth. What you've got to do is you've got to shut out what's around you, number one. Shut out the logical thinking of your mind, because it's almost like I'm instructing you now to do something illogical, something that is not natural for the natural mind. Something that to the mind may seem ridiculous. Because as you come forward, you've got to open your mouth and believe that the Holy Spirit will touch your vocal cords, not to speak in English, but to speak. Okay? And the Holy Spirit will lead you, will fill you with that word, and then will evidence it by listening to what's actually coming out of your mouth. See whether or not you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Alright. So open your mouth, expect the Holy Spirit to use your vocal cords to give you utterance. And number four, allow others to help you, but don't get distracted. One of the mistakes that a lot of people make, and you know, is to when somebody comes forward to be filled with the Holy Spirit, they do a lot of talking. You don't need to do a lot of talking. You talk, you encourage, but then you listen. You know, you listen. So as you come forward and you stand, you just believe that when your mouth opens, the Holy Spirit is going to touch your vocal cords and you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be doing a lot of talking. Come on, come on. We don't need to do that. Okay? The Holy Spirit knows how to give His gift best. Can I get an amen? So just receive. I'm going to kind of close with this, and I don't really kind of... Look, the thing is, number one, don't be anxious about anything. I'm going to flash up one more scripture or the verse in a minute. But it's very important that you hear this, that you don't be anxious at all. When we were being filled, Pastor Joy, myself, Pastor Trevor, we had a week of tarrying meetings back in Jamaica back then. And the week of meetings lasted from Sunday to Sunday, really. And I think, not from Sunday to Saturday, actually. Saturday, I remember this. Saturday night was the last night, right, where people would be filled. And right through the week, different individuals were filled. So some people were not filled on night one, night two, night three. Guess what? I wasn't filled until night, the last night. And what happened for me back then, a whole lot of anxieties was inside of me. And I remember going through the day. On Saturdays, I would help my dad with a van. He would carry passengers. I hated that job. Carry passengers from one town to the next, and I would be the conductor on that minibus. And many a time there were arguments, many a time sometimes fights. Many a times there was just things that were happening, people cursing, people grabbing people's bag, you know, to get them to come into your vehicle so that we can, you know, carry you and get the money. You know, there was all that was going on, you know, especially when a lot of passengers were not traveling. And I remember saying to myself, oh my gosh, you know, tonight is the last night. This is Saturday. It's the last night. I've not been filled. I'm going to go to church tonight after I finish working. And I don't want anything to interrupt my day. I don't want no sin. I don't want no sin around me. I don't want nobody to provoke me, you know. And what I didn't know then, but what was happening was a load of anxieties throughout the whole week. First of all, people were being filled. I wasn't. Do you remember that, Pastor Joe? Do you remember what night were you filled? The second to last. And I believe Pastor Joyce, she said the same thing. It was the last night for her as well. So the whole week had passed. People were being filled. Pastor Chu was filled the second to last night. I was filled on the last night. But I remember going into that meeting and saying, oh my gosh, it's now or never. But then, as I said, it happens with different people in different ways. And in that meeting, I'll just say this, it was a powerful meeting. The whole week was really powerful. And the emotion of the whole thing back then, that's the way it was as well with church, you know, was very high. The emotion of the whole thing was very high, very dynamic. And we were filled with the Holy Spirit. And some of us were, you know, almost physically uncontrollable, you know, because of the emotion that was going on the inside. Now, like I said earlier, sometimes it's like that, but it doesn't have to be like that. There's so many people that just come and they get filled with the Holy Spirit by just standing and receiving, know nothing. And some people, it's loud and the emotions come and the Holy Spirit touches them. And, you know, it's heightened for some, but it's not so heightened for others is what I'm saying. Don't pay attention to that. The most important thing is that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen, church? That's what's important. Don't pay attention to the emotion. If it's emotion, it's emotion. If it's high, it's high. If it's loud, it's loud. But if it's not, it's also, that's okay as well. As long as you're allowing the Holy Spirit to touch your vocal cords. Okay, so John chapter 7 and verse 37. This is the last slide. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Okay, so this is something that it has started and should continue. Okay, not just start and stop, but started and should continue. Out of his belly, out of his life, will flow rivers of living waters. Can I ask you to stand on your feet for me, please?